Welcome, everybody. Before I introduce us to our panelists, I just need to do a few housekeeping announcements and the like. We're here today to talk to Consumer Duty Alliance members about the role of business protection. In the prep for this session, we had a tremendous debate with your panelists, so you're in for some really good learning today. We're going to be using Teams to run the session. I think we're all au fait with that these days. The two main things I'm going to call out is this session is designed to be a collaborative discussion. It's not just about our three very excellent panelists talking. We want to hear what you have to say. Please do raise questions. You can either put a comment in the chat or put your hand up for the icon. I will come to you to introduce you and bring you into the conversation at any point. Feel free to ask questions. There are a number we asked for and we have fielded, and I'll be bringing those into the conversation as we go along. Just highlighted that. Quick information on Protection Guru. So, one. Okay. Today, as I say, we're going to be focusing on business protection. You've got your key learning objectives stated on the screen. I will just give you a moment to read those. And our speakers are Carol Powell from Grosvenor Insurance Brokers, Andrew Pinto from Edgemont Financial Services, and Lee Thomas from Pagnia Life, all of whom are individuals that have a great deal of experience in the protection world, particularly around business protection. I'm going to come to each of them and ask them to introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about their speciality. Can I start with Andrew?
Yeah, thanks very much, Ian. Hi, everyone. I am a protection advisor. I specialize in business protection, which basically leads into personal protection as a natural progression. We do all things life insurance, so from your typical shareholder protection, key person, group benefits on life and health, to income protection, mortgage protection, critical illness, and personal health insurance. As Ian said, my name's Andrew Pinto. I'm from Edgemont Financial Services, and I'm registered directly with the FCA as a protection advisor. I'm also a fully qualified IFA in the South African market, which I still have my active brokerage running at the moment, and I'm fully qualified, obviously, there and directly authorized with the local FSCA as well. I have done all my local exams in the UK for level four, but I'm not qualified and I'm not registered. And that will be relevant as we speak through the next hour. And that's intentional that I'm actually not registered, by the way. I'm also a qualified will writer and estate planner, so I do a lot of estate planning and inheritance tax planning. That's me.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Andrew. Carol, can I come to you
Thank you.
next?
Cool. So I'm Carol Powell. I'm Director of Life Services at Grosvenor Insurance Brokers. I started a life in the high street banking world. I did my first training as a high street bank advisor, which was called back in the day, which was about the late 1990s. I then moved into the IFA world, where I updated to diploma and focused for 10 years on protection, ostensibly business protection and the crossover between business and personal protection, also a little bit of IHT planning in there as well. And then 4 years ago, I bought that into Commercial Insurance Brokers, where I've been building that side of the business there since. I specialise, as the other, as Lee and Andrew, in business protection. I did the level six, the tax and legal aspects of business, and I've done a bit of accountancy qualification as well, just to familiarize myself around, put myself in business owners' world. So that's helped me as well.
Okay, that's great. Now, Jesse, could we are going to do a few polling questions during the day, during this session. Jesse, if you can put the first question up, and I'm going to give people just a moment or so. The question is, what percentage of your wealth clients who run their own businesses have you put in place business protection for? If I could ask all the advisors on the call, please, if you could answer that question for us now. This really helps us in planning forward these future sessions and generally gaining traction and interest on the subject. Once you have given us your vote, could you please, you can just click on the X on the right-hand side of the question, and it will remove it from your screen. So if I can come on and start talking in a bit more detail, Lee, can we start by looking at what approach do you suggest that firms should take to generate leads and build up professional relationships? And perhaps also you can expand a little bit on the role of professional relationships and how that actually brings you a lot of business protection work.
Okay, Thomas, Pangaea Life. My brokerage is, again, it's a small brokerage down on the south. Only 8 of us in the team, specializing really in key person, shareholder, and group risk. Really, our model is that we provide sort of protection for any kind of business owners. And a lot of our work, I have to say, sort of quite high end of in terms of working with business owners, going through a lot of actions, be that management buyouts, exits, selling their business, buying sort of new equity partners or.
Sorry, can I just come in here? Is anybody else having difficulty hearing, Lee, or is that
Yeah, sort of breaks every now
Lee,
and
can I
again,
come back to in a could I just ask you to check your mic, please, because we're having a your signal's breaking up quite a
I'll
lot.
go to a,
And I
I'll
need
go to another room.
I should apologize. I actually didn't come to you to introduce you. My bad. Andrew, while Lee checks his setup, could I ask you to come in and talk about why you think it's important to integrate both business and personal protection advice?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one for me, and I actually cannot see how the two can be separated, to be honest. Because when you're dealing with a client, and during the fact find, you establish that the individual is a shareholder or director of their own business, the natural progression is to dig a little deeper to find out exactly what that consists of. So things like value of the business, co-shareholders, loan accounts, debt, personal guarantees, just to name a few of them. All of which have a direct effect on the personal, on the person's personal financial position, should they die today. Because remembering that's what we're doing, we're taking a snapshot at today. And remembering that what we do when we're doing a financial risk analysis or a needs analysis is to see what the family would get out if that person died today, the business being an integral part of that. As with many entrepreneurs, the business is actually their pension. So if they die, how does the family extract the true value out of the business? The last thing anyone wants is for the surviving spouse to become a shareholder or director of that business. So the surviving business partner certainly does not want that. And also remembering that there's potential IHT on the value of the business if it doesn't qualify for business relief. That's just one small example, but it does go to show how interlinked both personal and business protection portfolios are. When talking about potential loss, there's the loss of the client to another advisor who actually does do both, who could end up you could end up losing that client. Anyone doing that, as I said, earlier, it's going to stand out compared to someone who just wants to write a mortgage protection policy, for instance, because the client has just bought a house. So I don't see a difference between the two. You've got to address everything holistically and not just look at one item like income protection or a mortgage protection, or from a wealth advisor side, just looking at the pensions or the ISAs or the investments, because I think the two do correlate. And then you throw estate planning into that, like, does the individual have a will? You ask further questions in the fact find, is there a shareholders agreement in the company? a lot of those sort of things are overlooked. And I think from a holistic point of view, where a wealth advisor and equally a protection advisor has got knowledge of both sides, makes a massive difference. So you cannot separate the two, in my view.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Andrew. Lee, let's see if we've got slightly better signal from you now. When we were preparing, firstly, if you would like to introduce you to yourself to the rest of our audience, apologies, my bad. But then when we were talking before in the prep, you were advocating being proactive on how you build up leads from professional partnerships. If I could invite you to expand on that, and just while you're doing that, anyone who hasn't given us a vote on the level of business protection you write for wealth clients, could you put that in now? Lee, over to you.
Okay. Hi, can you, hopefully you can hear me a bit better now. I've changed rooms.
Yeah, for much the better. One
stronger. Okay, so Pangea Life, we're a small independent brokerage. We are protection only, although I chuck group risk and private medical into that, trying to position ourselves really as a one-stop shop for business owners that need any kind of protection. And really all of our clients come through referrals from professional advisors. So typically corporate solicitors, accountants, corporate finance advisors, bankers, as well as a number of IFA firms that don't want to do protection themselves. Because of that, I guess the other thing we find is a lot of the work we get protection-wise is really quite big ticket stuff. So I think a lot of people that say they do business protection probably dabble with a bit of exec IP and relevant life. Whereas we can be doing some really quite significant large sums stuff, particularly around management buyouts, acquisitions, mergers, coming from really a group of professionals that see us as an extension of the professional advice that they give clients and want to bring us in to kind of de-risk those transactions. The benefits of that from us is like I said, the size of the clients we get. And if I was in the wealth management game, which I'm not, so I'm always happy to offload them to the people I work with, is that often I'm dealing with business owners that have just sold their business. And they come into multiples of millions, tens of millions of pounds. And we're helping de-risk some of that exit, or there's IHT liabilities, there's new shareholders, you've got new business owners. We're getting into the guts of a business when it's just gone through a big transaction, a big period of change. And the size of those, the value of those assets and those clients and their needs are really quite high. And I have to say that it's very rare that those kind of corporate solicitors, corporate finance advisors are bringing in someone else to talk to them about their wealth. It's kind of maybe a step too far for them in terms of the introduction, but that de-risking of those deals is very much on their radar and they're very keen to bring us in. So to partner up with or to do it yourself, to have someone that focuses purely on that business protection, opening those other doors for you in the terms of the other professionals, and seeing the sorts of people that all of a sudden walk in the door, someone that's been working hard on a business and has just sold it for 30 million, it really does open up, I'd have thought, massive opportunities, new business opportunities for wealth managers. You know, obviously there's the lower end where you are essentially protecting, if you're protecting a business, you're protecting maybe the sole source of income for one of your clients. So if their business goes under, does their income stop? Do their pensions evaporate? You know, if you're protecting their income with exec IP, obviously you're protecting elements there. So at the lower end, absolutely, you have to see the business is the very thing that's providing the income, that's paying for the services and the wealth management plans you're putting in place. If you don't protect that business, how vulnerable is that client? At the bigger end of the scale, to be moving in the circles with professional advisors that are working on transactions that are going into tens and hundreds of millions of pounds, you'd have thought would be a great place to position yourself as a wealth management firm in terms of having access to those people, either directly or through someone that specializes in it and going in as a partnership.
That's great, Lee. Thanks for that. Jesse, would you like to put the next poll up, please? And then we can ask people to respond to it really quickly. Here we're looking to understand your current perspective Very interesting to see that the overwhelming majority of firms who responded just now were saying they'd arrange business protection for less than 25%. Really trying to understand from this question, when we ran our last Consumer Duty Alliance forum, 57% of the advisors actually said, last Consumer Duty Alliance Protection Forum, 57% of the advisors said they didn't see the need for it. Really interested to understand if that's the same pattern. There are a lot of things that are now being planned following that feedback where people were asking for more support and training. So if I can just nudge any of you that haven't yet responded to that question that's on your screen, if you could put your entry, your response in now, that would be really valuable. I want to come, if I may, to Andrew. You started talking about holistic advice and integrating the two. Can you share with us your thoughts on the need for broader education amongst advisors? It's interesting to see the responses we have so far. 85% of people are saying they don't have the right skills in-house but wish to acquire them. Andrew, where should they go for that information? And you're on mute, my friend.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
You would think I would know that by now. And as you know, this is a bit of a sore point for me, because I will add that it's not just wealth advisors that need to have a broader education of protection, but it's also the protection advisors that need to have a broader education on investments, pension and retirement planning. I'm not saying they should be registered and be doing it, but they should have a knowledge of it. And for all the reasons that I've already mentioned, irrespective of what you're sitting down with on the client, I'm not saying that you as wealth advisors need to write protection business, but at least have an understanding of it and have a more in-depth training and education on protection, more so than you currently get from CII and CISI and the London Institute on your level fours. And also to be able to identify the need. And I think that's the important thing as well. Talking to business owners and immediately be able to see when a shareholder protection or key person policy or contingent liability policy is the right advice. And exactly the same for personal. So I'm not saying you have to write the business, as I said, but I know there's a whole lot of other issues that come around that. And it'll be things like compliance, the excessive general admin around writing protection. But then have a referral agreement that Lee referred to earlier. Have a referral agreement in place with a protection advisor that is there and skilled enough to piggyback on yourself and to give the advice. Or another possibility is to have your own internal protection advisors within your own firm. So yes, I do think that there is a need for broader education for both wealth and protection advisors. And I've not even started on estate planning. How important is the will and trust and lasting power of attorneys for the individual that you're talking to? It again comes back to what I mentioned earlier about the holistic advice. It's an integral part of our job as advisors to make sure that this is in place and regularly updated.
On that and the question of training tools, Carol, when we were talking last week, you were highlighting the role of cash flow planning tools and how you build that into the process. Could you expand on that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my experience in the IFA world, I've very much been at the forefront of encouraging our team to fully explore all of the functionality. So my personal experience is with Voyant, but I know there are others that, you know, people on the call may prefer. But in terms of Voyant, I mean, I've always seen the cash flow modelling as a bit of a crash test. So when I look at it through the eyes of a wealth advisor, I can't help but also see the risks. And I love that expression that Lee uses about de-risking. To me, it's all part and parcel. So I would be using Voyant with all of the functionality that lies behind on the protection tools in there, on the needs analysis, et cetera, so that you can crash test those advices and to see if there's anything life events and similar that might actually derail the plans that you're working hard to put in place for your clients. So I think most advisors, if not all advisors, understand and know that the functionality is there. I'm not sure that everybody uses it to its full extent. And I think, you know, the thing with, particularly with Voyant, as I'm sure people will be aware, the visuals are so powerful with these. I mean, this is why we love them so much. I know there are some downsides, but the visuals, there is nothing better than that visual, those red shortfalls, you know, whether you're talking wealth or heaven forbid somebody dies prematurely, etc. There's nothing more powerful than that, than to show an evidence to your client. But also, I would argue, you know, in the world of consumer duty, you know, we've got to avoid foreseeable harm, and we've got to be seen to be doing that. And I would argue, if that's not a part of the Voyant or similar processing model, it should be, because we need to evidence, you know, not only to ourselves, to the regulator, to our clients, what could go wrong.